Jefferson sat on the bunk, slumped forward a little, his big hands clasped together down between his legs. He was looking through the barred window toward the sycamore tree, where several blackbirds were perched on a limb. "How's it going?" I said to him. He nodded his head, but he didn't turn to look at me. "I brought you some food." "I ain't hungry." "Well, you might get hungry later," I said, and set the large paper bag of food on the end of the bunk. "I was speaking to Paul, the deputy. He told me you always share with the other prisoners. If they want it, they can have it." I looked at his back, then I went by him and stood under the window facing him. He was still gazing upward, and I noticed his eyes, large and inflamed. Since my last visit, he had gotten a very close haircut, which exposed the structure of his almost triangular head. "Jefferson, we have to talk," I said. He continued looking above my head toward the barred window. "When your Nanan came back from seeing you the other day, she broke down crying."
"Everybody cry," he said. "I cry."
"Is that what you want? Her to come home crying every time she sees you?" He didn't answer. "You can keep her from crying," I said. "You can make it easier for her. You can do her that favor." He continued to look above my head toward the barred window. "She wants somebody to do something for her before she dies." "That's for I die," he said, lowering his eyes to look at me. He repeated it. "That's for I die." "Is it asking too much, Jefferson, to show some concern for her? 'Cause I'm gonna die anyhow? That's what you're trying to say?" Now it was I who didn't answer. "That's what you're trying to say, Mr. Teacher?" he asked. "We're all going to die, Jefferson."
"Tomorrow, Mr. Teacher? That's when you're going to die? Next week?"
"I don't know when I'm going to die, Jefferson. Maybe tomorrow, maybe next week, maybe today. That's why I'm trying to live as well as I can every day and not hurt people. Especially people who love me. People who have done so much for me. People who have sacrificed for me. I don't want to hurt those people. I want to help those people as much as I can."
"You can talk like that. You know you're going to walk out of here in an hour. I bet you wouldn't be talking like that if you knowed you was going to stay in here."
"In here or out of here, Jefferson, what does it benefit you to hurt someone who loves you, who has done so much for you?"
"I never asked to be born."
"Neither did I," I said. "But here I am, and I am trying to make the best of it."
"Like coming here vexing me?" he asked.
"Am I vexing you, Jefferson?" he grunted.
"Just keep on vexing me," he said. "I bet you I say something about that old yellow woman you go with."
"You speaking of Vivian?"
"Just keep on vexing me," he said.
"If you're talking about Vivian, it's Vivian who keeps me coming here."
"Keep on vexing me," he said. "See what I won't say. Just keep on vexing me."
"Go on, say anything you want to say, Jefferson."
"Keep on vexing me. Bet you I'll scream," he said.
"So Guidry would come up here and tell me to get out? Is that it? Is that it, Jefferson?" I had been trying my best not to become angry again, but nothing I said made a difference. He just sat there, grinning at me. "Go on and scream, Jefferson. Go on and scream for Guidry if that's what you want." We looked at each other, and I could see in those big reddened eyes that he was not going to scream. He was full of anger, and who could blame him? But he was no fool. He needed me, and he wanted me here, if only to insult me.
"Oh, pussy ain't no good," he said.
My heart suddenly started pumping too fast. I made a fist of my right hand. If he had been standing, I would have hit him. If he had been any place else, I would have made him get up and I would have hit him. I would have hit any other man for saying that. But I recognized his grin for what it was, the expression of the most heart-rending pain I had ever seen on anyone's face. I rubbed my fist with my left hand, and gradually I began to relax. "That lady you spoke of, boy, cares a lot about you," I said to him. "She's waiting at that school right now for me to bring her news about you." "That's a lady you spoke of, boy.
That's a lady. Because it's she who keeps me coming here. Not your nanin, not my aunt. Vivian. If I didn't have Vivian, I wouldn't be in this damn hole. Because I know damn well I'm not doing any good for you or for any of the others. Do you hear what I'm saying to you? Do you? I saw that grin slowly fade as he lowered his eyes toward the floor. When he looked up again, I saw tears in those big reddened eyes.
Manners is for the living, he said.
He looked at me a while. Then he swung around and knocked the bag of food off the bunk. The bag burst open on the floor, and there was fried chicken and biscuits and baked sweet potatoes all over the place.
Food for the living, too, he said.